I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You can talk to me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. We have a South Coast derby, a tasty one at the King Power, and a thigh rubber at Stamford Bridge. Greetings, everybody.
Hello.
Luke, Pete and Jim are with me.
Why us?
It's a South Coast derby, Luke Moore.
Yeah, I saw that.
The endless debate.
In the running order. The endless debate. In the running order, I want that A.
Call it what it is.
To be bold.
The running order.
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 He's off soon, isn't he?
He's soon to be gone. I want that A to be bolded and underlined.
It's capitalised.
Bolded.
Yeah.
Is bolded. That right?
Bolded up.
Would you say bolded?
What would you say?
Bolderised.
I'd probably say in bold.
In bold and capitalised.
I like emboldened as well, though.
Emboldened and underlined.
A little bit of boldy.
Italicised?
Yeah. Because the thing is, Jim, and I'll put this out there, and I'll happily go with the consensus.
No, you won't.
Right?
You never have ever.
Fair. All fair. All
he would
fair.
Prorogue the podcast to get around it.
Mr. Speaker, please strike that from the record. I will not go with the consensus. But I am struggling to see, other than Marcus being a naughty little sausage.
Sausage.
Why this is even in there. Because 9th v 10th, by their own admission, yeah. is not a huge game to be talking about, but you want to give me a little dig.
I'm just surprised that you of the Portsmouth parish just want to talk about the top six all the time.
It's an island parish as well. It's an island parish.
Is that why we don't understand?
Yeah, you wouldn't understand. No, but to be fair, it's a Friday night occasion.
It's tonight.
Yeah. It's a Friday night affair,
yeah.
Which I suppose is something to get the... get the pulse racing.
You love a Friday night show.
I love a Friday night game. Mm. I love it.
We were all a bit cynical about it, weren't we? All a little bit suspicious. But then we aged out of going out on a Friday, and actually it's good.
Yeah, but can I also add to that? You're absolutely correct in what you say there, but can I also add to that? Let us not forget the kind of weird magazine-y type show that Sky Sports tried to do around this, involving Rachel
Soccer
Riley
PM kind of thing.
And Jeff Stelling. Was that Friday night football or Saturday night football?
No, it was like Friday, wasn't it?
It was best in a pub, wasn't it?
No, that was after.
Oh. Yeah, weren't they trying to sort of do a kind of start off a Soccer AM but in the evening, but then do like some sort of TFI Friday after party?
Yes.
And it was called FNF.
In this decade.
Because I went to the show that Pete was thinking of as well. I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, I'm talking about the one where they had Rachel Riley
yeah, okay.
and Jeff Stelling and they kind of made it a bit, hey, normal people who don't like football normally, come and watch this now, kind of thing. So anyway, that aside, it's 9 versus 10.
Right.
What do you want from me?
Okay, does anyone else have anything to say?
What I would say...
A lot of negativity over there.
What I can say, no, in, perhaps in more positive news... Uh-huh.
Is you're going out this Friday.
Is that I... No, no. Is that... Moussa Dineppo has been brilliant for Southampton.
He's been brilliant.
And he's gone under the radar. We didn't mention the goal he scored against Sheffield United.
Well, he popped up on the radar then, didn't he?
He did. It was an absolute beauty.
Not for the first time this season.
And he started life in the Premier League like a dad finally arriving on his first day of holiday away from the family. Just having a great time.
Away from the family.
Yeah. When does this happen?
That's a bit, yeah.
Well,
so that's a sad, sort of a tinge of sadness. Maybe.
Maybe he is a bit sad as well then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, do you know what I mean? He feels like the shackles are off. He's going to have a great time.
I never thought I'd have to go to Pete for a bit of positivity. Yeah.
None of us did.
To my knowledge, my dad has never been on holiday without us.
No,
your dad's been on holiday with Pete, Luke, and
I. I remember my mum, me, my sister, basically my family, were going on holiday. And my mum witnessed a man trying to get into our shed. So my dad took it upon himself, like the brave soul that he is, to stay at home to fit a burglar alarm. And so obviously we had to live in a shitty caravan on a Haven Park.
So you went on holiday without him?
Yes. Yeah. And my dad had what can only be described as a fucking lovely time.
Yeah. You're in a caravan, he's in a house. What did he get up to?
Well, I imagine it was like risky business.
Marcus, he was fitting a burglar alarm.
Oh yeah, when we came home, what we actually got was, you know, one of those fake boxes with an LED light that flashes.
Yeah, took him 5 minutes that.
Yeah, took him five minutes. He's an electrical engineer. Yeah. He could have coughed that up.
I hate to think what happened before you
Marcus,
returned.
This is what happens if you were going to start the show with this type of game.
Mm. Right. Forgive me, everybody. but Peter, you like a dribbler. On the pitch. And Moussa Dineppo is that.
Well, apparently you don't call him Dineppo, but I can't for the life of me remember how to pronounce what it's supposed to be.
Is that right?
I was fairly convinced it was Moussa Dineppo.
Yeah, apparently it's slightly different, but I have no further on that, frankly.
But Big Moussa, he scored some lovely goals. Well, two lovely goals.
Just like to see a player who's clearly enjoying themselves and clearly has got the pleasant system where he's got the freedom to express himself. Mm.
I think it's actually very impressive how quickly Southampton have got back on track from where they sort of, you know, things started to go awry and they ended up with Mark Hughes at the helm. But obviously Ralph Hasenhüttl has come in and it's back in that sort of production line of promising young managers and exciting, you know, unearthed gems coming into the club. And it looked like that might have been a thing of the past. But this season they look like they're going to be very comfortable this season, you would think.
Yeah, they got off to a terrible start, losing quite handily away to Burnley. Although it was only about a sort of 10-15 minute period. But still, though, I think, was it 3-0 they lost? Then they lost to Liverpool, but they were a little bit better. I mean, they had a chance to equalise early, but since they've won three, drawn once in their last four, only conceding that delightful Daniel James goal, Luke, against
Absolutely.
Manchester United.
And I do think, just to pick up what Jim said, I think that they did get into a situation, I think we can all agree, where they were massively underperforming for the players they had. Mm. And they resetted when Hasenhüttl came in and they benefit from having a coach who's got very clear ideas about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And obviously players can respond to that. But I feel, you know, a little bit of sympathy for Mark Hughes because he's got himself into a situation where didn't really know what type of football they were playing, what they were doing, and he also cuts quite a negative looking figure, you know. So when Hasenhüttl comes in and works them hard and is clear and defined with his ideas, that's going to benefit them. And I think they were punching well below their weight before he came in. I agree with Jim that they're going to be comfortable this season. I think that's absolutely right.
I think they're going to be comfortable.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think this season's quite hard to pick out who you think might go down. Actually, I know it's early days.
Oh, okay. But you think they'd have a chance of being
no,
in trouble?
No, I just thought you might stick the boot in a bit more.
But the thing is, you got to remember, Southampton are playing Portsmouth in the Carabao Cup next week.
Mm. Oh yes.
And Portsmouth are in absolutely abysmal form.
And that's the South Coast derby.
Exactly. And I don't want to sort of tempt fate by calling them a load of old shit.
No, but if you think they're going to go down, then it's not going to have any impact.
No, I genuinely don't think that.
But also as well, speaking from experience of this sort of thing, I try to be quite, as measured about Spurs as I can. So when they truly screw up, I can really enjoy it, and I respect Luke taking the same approach.
All right, fair enough. What about Bournemouth though? They've had a mixed start to the season. Good win against Everton last Sunday. They're the two main men, Callum Wilson, Ryan Fraser. Got the goals.
A lovely finish from Wilson for his second one.
Yeah.
Proper clipped, but High.
it was a high clip.
A clump? It's like a big dink.
It's like your whole brain shut down.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It's like...
Would you call it a clink?
Well, there's normally a term for it, like a dink or a whatever, but it's like, I don't know how you'd describe that one.
Clipped, but high.
Yeah, clipped, but high. I changed where I was from as well.
Yeah. Somebody said that if Southampton win or even get a point, if they get into double digits, basically, they're doing it 11 matches before they released before they reached that mark last season.
Right. Oh wow.
So that's obviously such a stinky start.
But. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Stinky start.
Callum Wilson got a lot of praise from, I think it was Graham Souness actually, which is nice to see. Mm. But he really is a proper Premier League forward, isn't he? I mean, he has been for some time, but England international. So when you see him scoring a couple of goals, he's such a weapon for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Leading the lineup there, and also with Ryan Fraser, you know, it's good to see them linking again as they did so effectively last season. Mm. For that to kind of carry on, but the player that it's really great to see back in the Bournemouth side is Lewis Cook. Started for Bournemouth after about a 9-month injury layoff with a cruciate knee injury. It was a very serious injury.
Was he not in an England squad before?
He was. I think he might have featured actually. He may well have one cap. Okay. He's certainly in the squad. He spent time at special rehab places in Qatar and Philadelphia. And you think to yourself, you can forget, he's a very young player.
Yeah.
That amount of time out and then going to those faraway places while football is still carrying on.
Oh, mate, one thing.
Psychology or the psychological effect.
Yeah, the toughness you need. One thing I think I've learned from doing ramble meets with lots of ex-players is injuries is such a big thing for players. Mm. There's a point I don't think the rest of us fully appreciate how it means you are taken away from the group, your teammates, your colleagues.
Yeah.
You are forced to do things on your own. Some cases, when it's a serious injury, you can't do anything at all. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, if you say to someone, the job you love doing for the next 6 months, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to get anywhere near mm-hmm. doing it. Now, I know they get paid well at this level, and that's probably a salve to their wound, metaphorically speaking. But no, there's no substitute for it. Mentally, they have to be very, very tough. And these are all pretty young men as well, by the way. Mm-hmm. The point I was going to just ask you guys about Bournemouth going into this game. Marcus, you mentioned they beat Everton fairly handily. Mm. But interestingly, Ryan Fraser didn't start. Mm. He came on and scored, possibly because of international break or whatever. Seems to me Eddie Howe's got a decision to make now then, because Ryan Fraser is one of his better players. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of injuries. I think they've got six first 11 injuries.
They do have a fair few injuries.
Yeah, and so will they bring Fraser back in, or will he stick with the same team that beat Everton?
Yeah, because he had Billing and Cook, I think, in the centre of the pitch. He tends to like a sort of a bit more of a 4-4-2, I suppose, sometimes. He mixes up a little bit.
I hear that Felix McGath sent a lot of players to Philadelphia.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
What's that for?
No, you should have said he used Philadelphia, maybe.
No, he sent them to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Oh, because he uses cheese on the injury.
For those who don't remember,
That's so obscure that even people on the show don't get it.
Not for me, I like it.
But I like you spent a good 3-4 minutes coming up with that.
Well, no, I was ready, but then Luke jumped in.
Sorry, mate.
He took the initiative into other places.
No point in wasting that.
Sorry. If I had known it had been that groundbreaking, I would have respectfully taken
absolutely,
a step back.
Yeah.
Well, cheese hauling.
For those who don't remember, Felix Magath said it wasn't just the cheese. It was, I think he said it to...
doesn't matter.
Gary Cahill, wasn't it?
No. I think it was Hangeland.
Hangeland. What am I thinking of Cahill? They look similar.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah. It was to Hangeland. He said, rub some cheese on where the muscle strain or whatever it is, but also speak to your mother on the phone.
Yeah.
Because that'll sort of calm you and the whole effect.
I don't actually mind the
obscure
joke.
The man won the Bundesliga.
Yeah, I don't mind the obscure joke, Mark, because it's the 3 or 4 minutes explanation after we've got to get.
Well, we didn't need it because, I mean, people are just, it's a ramble trope, I would argue.
People will get it, would they?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. People would just be tweeting you a week going,
Anyway, when we look back on this decision to open the show with Bournemouth v Southampton, will we be happy with it?
I'd be very happy
with it. Do more of it again?
I just think that Lewis Cook didn't need to go to Qatar or indeed Philadelphia. He could have stayed at home with some cheddar or something.
That's what Pete said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, why are you trying to like piece together my fractured gags and put them into one underwhelming
without
one.
Philadelphia there's no link to cheese is there?
Look forward to next week when we open the show with Wolves versus Watford.
You rather us enjoy the joke or just skip over like we did last week when Jim did his little secret one?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Jim
does have bigger jokes, but he's not used them yet.
Marcus,
it's time to talk about Chelsea versus Liverpool.
Yes!
There we go.
There we go.
Don't be so disrespectful to Southampton and Bournemouth. We are going to be in Bournemouth, Luke Moore, and you're going to have to face the music that night. If you hate Luke Moore, get yourself to the Bournemouth show.
That's what it's come to.
Exactly.
RambleLife.com.
That'll be a sellout by the end of the week.
If you hate me, go to RambleLife.com and help line my pockets.
Don't worry, I'll make sure, people of Bournemouth and surrounding areas, that the proceeds for that gig don't go anywhere near that.
Safe
man.
In the knowledge that whatever you do, I'll have the last laugh.
I won't.
But the reason I'm happy about we're talking about Chelsea v Liverpool, Marcus, is because I never thought I'd better say this, and I feel like we should commemorate it in some kind of way. Virgil van Dijk made a high-profile mistake midweek.
Yes. Oh. And he lost his rag a little bit as well, didn't he? Which you also don't see. So,
because we don't see him make mistakes.
Well, exactly, right. Yeah. I guess they go hand in hand.
He told his teammates not to panic after the game.
Mm. I'm still a sim guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the reason that he said told not to panic is presumably people like I was thinking... that there's been some kind of rip in the fabric of space and time that such an event could take place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd be worried about whether gravity starts to bend around him or what's going to happen next.
Well, both sides, of course, lost in the Champions League this week. Yeah. I mean, Virgil van Dijk made a mistake and so did Ross Barkley.
Mm. He did. Less surprising. That was strange, that, because obviously Ross Barkley missed the penalty and there was a lot of hoo-ha about who was going to take it on the pitch. But actually, the BT Sport commentators, it was like they could predict the future, because it was like they could feel the tension and we're upping it with each passing sentence, and then obviously skims it off the top of the bar, doesn't he?
It's
not what you want. You've got to put that away.
Got to score. I have to say, I mean, Frank Lampard sort of played it down and said, well, he is one of the designated penalty takers. But for me, you know...
I thought that was the right thing to say.
Yeah, I thought it was the right thing to say, to put that to bed. But behind closed doors, I'm sure there'll be a conversation or two there. Absolutely, Jim.
Excuse me.
Jim, you're right, Jim.
The thought of those... That's a joke that won't go under the radar.
Let's not
Peter.
Point out jokes the rest
yes,
of the
okay.
show.
I will if I want.
Okay. But I think Ross Barkley needs to go to Philadelphia. I think if you saw the reactions of Jorginho and Willian.
Willian particularly was angry.
I actually thought Willian, I understand Barkley's, the initial action from Barkley is a bit poor, because Jorginho takes the penalties, and despite missing one in the League Cup final shootout.
But it's the first game in the Champions League. Spirits are in the sky.
Yes. And so Jorginho realises that he's not going to get the ball off Barkley. So Jorginho did what Mitrovic did to Abubakar.
At Fulham,
and said, all right, you, almost like you've got my blessing. All right, good luck, pal.
Mm. Yeah, Jorginho was actually seemed pretty gracious about it, didn't he? And gave him a genuine sort of bit of
encouragement. Because I think Jorginho is thinking, no, I should take the penalty. After a while, one has to give.
If penalty's just a big pass.
Sure.
I'm really good at that.
Indeed. And so you have to give the ball over at some point, or you have to let the guy who's got the ball take the penalty. Willian just seemed to almost like stare him out like a boxer.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, that was actually quite poor from Willian.
It looked like, to me, like he had completely forgotten that it's what's important is the team and the win. Now, of course, he would then argue, well, I told you he shouldn't have taken it. And then the manager's got to get a grip of them. The reason the manager's got to get a grip of them, it's because it's happening over and over again, this.
Mm.
This seems to me to be happening much more than ever happened in the past.
Yeah.
Possibly a reflection of this individual kind of aspect of football now that we never used to see before. I know it makes me sound like an old man, but back in the day...
Lampard himself had this once. It was an important game for Chelsea. They were at home. Lampard gets the ball because he was the taker, and Drogba wanted to take it.
That's right.
Lampard was no and wouldn't have it. And fortunately for Lampard, he did score the penalty.
Mm.
So yeah, it was difficult, of course, when that's going on the pitch. But
this will be a thigh rubber this weekend, though, won't it?
This will be. Yeah, I mean, Chelsea will be disappointed. Of course, they lost to Valencia, and Liverpool will be disappointed they lost to Napoli. But with that, with the much talked about sort of Chelsea being a little bit soft at the centre at the moment,
that's what you fear for the last team
you want to be playing against.
Absolutely, and Liverpool will want to go to town on Chelsea as well and keep up their perfect record in the league. I think it's a shame for Mason Mount picking up an injury as well. Probably good for
really
Barkley,
sad.
Because he can obviously step straight in and try and put that miss right.
That was an awful challenge.
It really was.
He's lucky to stay on the pitch.
And actually, you know what? I think Coquelin went straight down to him, didn't he? He was asking him if he was okay. And I think that was a little bit of like trying to cover up.
I think it can happen. I don't know if he necessarily meant it maliciously.
Oh, no, I'm sure he wouldn't set out to injure him, but at the same time, like, he knows, like, oh God, that's probably a red, but he's straight down there going, oh, you're right. Yeah. Maybe trying to sort of
the other thing that players do is
did you like that?
No, but the other thing that players do a lot in that kind of situation is that they pretend they're themselves injured, don't they?
Yeah.
To try and deflect. Oh no, I think I've broken my metatarsal for doing that.
The absolute finest peak example of that is when Luis Suarez bit Giorgio Chiellini. He went down holding his teeth.
He did as well.
It's hard.
Yeah. What are you trying to imply here?
He's just shouldered me in the teeth.
Yeah. I should say, by the way, Betway, of course, our sponsor of the previous show here on Football Ramble Daily, are putting out a first goal wins offer on Chelsea v Liverpool, which is on Sunday. Essentially, if you bet, you get paid out as a winner as soon as your backed team has scored first, regardless of the full-time result of the game.
Right.
So if you back a team, they score first, you win, whatever happens. If you go to betway.com, you'll get more details there, but don't forget to bet the responsible way. I think that's a really good offer. I think that's very, very interesting.
Yeah, before we move on to the emails, a little mention for Mr. Llorente.
Oh, yeah.
In a Napoli shirt. He said before the game he wanted revenge on Liverpool because they beat his Spurs side in the final, and he got a goal against them.
Is scoring a unimportant goal that your team were going to win anyway in a group stage match?
Well, it's unimportant. It killed them off.
Let me.
All right.
Full and whole revenge for losing a Champions League final.
I think it's a little something.
It's a little taster.
Exactly.
A little taster. Oh, by the way, before we go to the emails, I should say, special thoughts go out to the family and friends of Fernando Rixon, who sadly passed away losing his battle with motor neurone disease yesterday at the tender age of just 43. Very, very sad story. He'd done a great job in raising awareness for the condition, debilitating disease that it is. That's worth checking out if you get a chance. But yeah, rest in peace, Fernando.
Yeah,
very
definitely,
sad.
Definitely. Mm. All right then, let's have some emails with PTD.
Yes, it is time for emails. And
coming next? It's got to the point now where I just don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
We're hurtling towards the end of September. We're nearly in October. I think everyone's across the fact that the new email address is what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I'm going to retire the original email.
Right, I quit.
What do you mean?
I'm out of it.
People know what the email address is, so we don't need the email jingle.
Right.
So I've been back to the well.
Oh, no.
This may have cost me in the region of £200, but I'll be damned if it isn't the greatest email jingle known to man. If you'd like to get in touch and get your email read out, just email show at footballrambledaily.com to get Pete reading it out. Well done.
Emphasis on well done.
That's my favourite song.
What a gig. Play it again.
Me and
Pete, are you surreptitiously making an album through us? Like that guy that made one in the Apple store.
Yeah, sorry. That was clearly a live version.
Sorry, is this all you do now?
Yeah.
Outside of the studio.
Liaise with outside contractors about email jingles.
Pete, a little sincerely, an honest question for I think we were all thinking about here. Was that recorded live at one of our warm-up live shows?
I think it was, yes.
Mm. Yeah, and people could get tickets for those.
They can indeed.
At ramblelive.com, can't they?
They can indeed, yeah.
As I understand it as well, Pete, you're doing a little tour with your band in the same cities that we're performing at.
Yeah, just before just we go.
It's like Roger Waters and in his band.
I think I speak on behalf of our listeners when I think, how does that conversation start when Pete goes back to them and says,
I know what you mean.
You remember me from the... I want another one.
Yeah.
I'll happily pay another £200.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the woman thinking
who was recording
these songs?
I think the word's cha-ching.
I've got a couple of points on that. So you've touched on it there. Mm. I think that you're clearly sort of paying off her mortgage or something for her.
Yeah.
And secondly, some more to the listeners,
Mark,
actually.
Some kind of arrangement.
I would say so. This is that you've got to be careful with Petey.
Yeah.
Because if you come at him, he will retaliate. He's like Joe Pesci in Casino. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you go over the knife, he comes back, you're the
exactly.
gun.
Yeah. People complained in their droves about that email jingle.
Mm.
Now you see what happens. Sometimes, exactly. Sometimes you've just got to count your blessings.
Marcus knows which side his bread is Philadelphia. And he knows that if he upsets me, he's getting the full Going for Glory jingle.
Yeah.
All right.
Indeed.
A lot of people getting involved on the emails.
I completely forgot what we're even doing. Yeah. To be honest, I completely forgot.
What you got to do is tell people you like Pete, you like something really, really much, and you want more of it, and then it'll go.
Pete, yeah. I wrote the time code down for the edit here for email.
3 hours.
Three whole minutes ago.
A lot of people getting involved in the topic on the emails. Do you like Pete?
The topics.
Quite a Brexit-like result, really, with the Pete vote. Not
people just really angry.
Well, not because it was really close. It was just the more disappointing vote was from my dad. So that was, like, Hello, chaps. I was listening to you through the internationals and I was upset to say the least that you didn't cover Wales, having covered all the home nations, albeit briefly. I'll cover it for you in this email. Gig's out. Thanks, lads. Enjoy your stuff. That's James. Abby.
We did cover Wales.
Abby is furious that him and his mate Ollie Taylor bought tickets to the Ramble Hackney show and now Ollie is bailing. Apparently, he was whinging earlier in the year that the Ramble never tour and now he's too busy with work to go. And now Abby is heading down from Bristol to London all on his lonesome. Well, on that fact, Ben has just started listening to the Football Ramble and he fancies attending a live show. Unfortunately, he says none of my mates listen to the Football Ramble, so I'm forced to attend alone. Do you reckon now we can get Football Ramble Daily Lonely Person system going to help me and others out? Mate,
so on that note, Pete, genuinely a sincere point, I have been on Football Ramble Daily Twitter getting people to tweet saying if they go on their own and then retweeting it and getting people to hook up with each other. So it's a bit of a family thing happening. And we did have about 15-ish people the other day tweeting us saying, I'm going alone. Is there anyone else coming alone? And as far as I know, there's a little bit of a community going on. So if you are thinking of coming on your own, check us out on Twitter, put something out there, and we will share it and get you hooked up with people because it's like a big family anyway.
Of course it is.
There are so many people who I personally know who have met through listening to the Football Ramble, and when they come to the live show, you can actually meet, have a drink,
stay
have a
Pete's.
Giggle. It's not stay at Pete's.
Yeah. I'll be travelling on my own. I mean, I'm the same as you.
Yeah.
I met you on the show, Pete.
I know, exactly. We've unified. So if you want to get to the show, it's show at footballrambledaily.com.
Excellent. Now it's time for a break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway.
I'm delighted to announce that our shows in the US are now on full sale at ramblelive.com. From the 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th of November, we are playing New York, Brooklyn, Toronto and Chicago. Tickets are flying. They're available on pre-sale from Tuesday. If you followed us on social media, you would have seen that. If you want further kind of little behind the scenes type things, you should follow us on social media for these types of things at Football Ramble Daily on Instagram and at Football Ramble on Twitter. But general sale for those four US shows at the beginning of November are now available at ramblelive.com. Please go out there and get your tickets to avoid disappointment. Of course, tickets for our shows in England are also still on sale. Please get in there as well before they go. RambleLive.com. Our tour starts at Hackney on Thursday, the 26th, and goes all the way through October at a town in England near you. Do not delay. Buy them today.
Really look forward to the Alexandra Palace show next Saturday as well. That's going to be big.
Oh, it's Saturday night. Big. Saturday night.
Dance Ali like Pally. The May You Woo. Move.
Yeah.
Move. We're going to party in Wood Green, baby.
Free tub of cream cheese of your brand of choice with every purchase.
Anyway. Me and Luke got our visas yesterday, so we're good for the US as well, which is good.
Oh, yeah. That was a whatever. Have you guys got your US visa?
Yeah, I've got mine. Soon enough, brothers and sisters.
Marcus will do his last.
Enough. All right. Tasty one at the King Power. It's Red Leicester City versus Spurs. Third versus fifth. Is that better, Luke?
I prefer that.
Right.
Leicester came unstuck against United and we didn't have time to discuss it on Monday after we all tipped Leicester to win.
Yeah. Also, it was a deeply, deeply dull game.
Oh, it was so boring.
Yeah.
So boring.
And so boring.
But they remain a good team. I mean, there's no reason they can't get a decent result at home, particularly to Spurs, who I thought suffered badly with concentration against Olympiacos in the Champions League midweek. And, you know, whether you want to call it intensity, like Pochettino did, or you want to call it concentration, like Sir Alex Ferguson always used to, in Europe, teams who are in there are used to winning games. And you've got to be on it. And they will have to be exactly the same against Leicester because Leicester have got a lot of good players and they've got big Brendy Rodgers in the dugout. Mm.
Pochettino was pretty angry with his players after the game. He said they didn't respect the plan. They lacked intensity, as you say, and the desire that he said they showed against Crystal Palace. I mean, they threw away that two-goal lead in Olympiacos. Now, that's an away trip. You know, the fans are very raucous there, blah, blah, blah. Olympiacos has got some good players. You know, Valbuena. Nice to see his name pop up again.
Oh, yeah, we gave him a little mench yesterday.
Of course. I mean, it is a disappointing result considering Spurs went to the final last time. And if you've got a 2-0 lead, I understand that. But it was interesting because those results can happen, especially in away ties in Champions League, first one of the season. But Pochettino, it shows you that he means business. I mean, he always means business, but the way he talked about his players, it was kind of like, I'm not having that.
Yeah. But Marcus, they did exactly the same as this against Arsenal in the North London Derby.
Yeah, well, perhaps that's where the frustration is.
Well, I don't know if it's too early to suggest there's a trend there, but you can't go... I mean, against Crystal Palace, it's perhaps a little bit different because, you know, although they've started fairly well, they're not a team at the level of Arsenal or a Champions League team.
Also, they're at home for that game.
Absolutely. We saw it against at the Emirates, 2-0 up. They don't make it to half-time, crucially, without conceding a goal, which, again, is exactly what happened against Olympiacos in the Champions League. They think they can coast through to half-time and then regroup and all the rest of it. What happens against Arsenal? Well, they can see one on injury time of the first half. What happens against Olympiacos? They can see one with about 30 seconds left of the first half there. So you can imagine that's the kind of thing that would annoy a manager, any manager. Oh, isn't it?
Jermaine Genus was fuming at Christian Eriksen's performance.
Yeah, and he's coming for a bit of criticism from a lot of places. It's perhaps a too obvious an explanation, but has his head been turned?
Well, that's the problem.
This isn't a player that you would normally associate with kind of
a lack of intensity.
A lack of effort or intensity.
Who's
that
you're talking about, sorry?
Eriksen.
But the problem for Eriksen is now every time he doesn't play well, people go, oh, well, you know, and so there's a whole kind of mental side of that they're going to have to, well, he in particular, obviously, but they're going to have to manage that a little bit better.
And actually he's perhaps scrutinised more anyway.
Yeah. You know? Dele Alli was back.
Yeah,
he's not played that much this season. That is a big plus for Spurs. Mm. He was involved in a bit. Again, obviously, didn't win the game and so on. But
I'm starting to worry. I worry about Dele Alli's overall contribution, to be honest.
Do you hear?
Yeah. I think last season, very truncated season, found it difficult. And I heard a stat. It staggered me so much, I can't actually remember it now. But last night, the last time he scored a goal in the Champions League, I mean, it's a long, long time ago now. His contribution in terms of goals...
What a beautiful assist for Lucas Moura for that goal, the decisive one against Ajax.
Lucas Moura scored a lovely one midweek
didn't he? Yeah. I think he might be being a touch harsh on Dele Alli. I mean, we'll see as the sort of season plays out, of course. But I think, what was it in...
He's had a difficult time with injury. I would concede that.
Yeah.
I mean, last season, what did he score? Premier League five Premier League goals in 25 games?
I think when he first burst through, and perhaps this is unfair... because of the age at which he broke through, I think we were all expecting him to be almost grow into a sort of Gerrard or Lampard style figure, you know, and just be really, really consistent. And
his impact in was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was 18 goals and 7 assists in his first season in the Premier League, and I think people were second season. Anyway, he went from strength to strength. Maybe now we're just seeing a settling. Maybe injuries have kind of set him back a little bit.
Yeah.
so perhaps I am being harsh there, but I haven't seen him make a proper, consistent contribution for a while.
He is
worth pointing out, he's only 23 still.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's not a player that you necessarily worry about now if your team are playing Spurs. It used to be that he would be one you have to really, really keep quiet, but he doesn't really seem to be affecting games in the same way.
That comes to like headlines and youth, though, doesn't
perhaps,
it?
Perhaps,
really?
Yeah.
Marcus, do you think that people kind of pigeonhole a player and go, oh, because of what he's done in this last two or three seasons, he's now, in quotes, a good player, mm-hmm. and he's always going to be that good player. But actually what happens is form ebbs and flows, yeah. Apart from for the very, very best players, and he isn't one of those, certainly not yet.
Mm. No, yeah, I just look at the game he had against Olympiacos, and I thought he was one of the more positive aspects for Spurs, actually.
I thought Winks was their best player in that game. Personally.
Yeah, I said one of the more positive aspects. Winks was, I wasn't saying Dele Alli was the best player, but I thought that his overall contribution was pretty positive, and I think that him coming back for Spurs is definitely a plus. It would be interesting to see, to use the comparison of James Maddison, what will happen there, because James Maddison for Leicester is getting all the praise that Dele Alli did, you know, a couple of years ago, whenever it was. And Maddison is a player who can chip in with goals, but he has not got the goal scoring rate that Paul Scholes or someone like that has. And assists can, the assist stats can be misleading. They can obviously help, and they have their value. But if just because you don't provide that pass, I mean, Madison's created a lot of chances. And
people
so,
haven't taken them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think Maddison could, you know, talking about Dele Alli that way, we could be in a situation next year with James Maddison, people going, well, actually, has he had the impact and so on?
I'm going to call this game a lunchtime treat.
Are you?
Saturday 12:30. No, look forward to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I might watch up before going to see Less Than Jake in Birmingham.
I might get up for that one.
good on you, Jim.
Yeah. Well done, Jimmy. Good man. All right, let's go to an afternoon treat.
Afternoon delight.
Yes, it's exactly. Afternoon delight. Burnley versus Norwich. 13th versus 14th. Luke,
you know how to pick him, mate. Something that's gone under the radar again, and something we should get
We've
up.
We've got to get this radar looked at.
I was going to say,
you need
to lower your radar.
We need to get back up to speed on stories like this. Mm-hmm. Burnley midfielder Danny Drinkwater out for 2 weeks after sustaining ankle ligament damage in a nightclub fight.
Yeah. Oh, what?
That's ramble. That's ramble stuff.
Presumably, this is some sort of kickboxing fight as well, if he's hurt his ankle.
Sean Dyche was angry.
I bet he was angry.
He said they are human beings and people do get in scrapes, and he's old enough and wise enough to know whatever you do, you can do to get out of scrapes, or whatever he fucking said. he said, we've had a chat with him. What happened? What was the situation? Okay, let's move away from that. Now, where do we go from here? That's where we're at.
There we go.
And then he said, it will remain private.
Right.
There's a lot going on there.
You've essentially confirmed he was in a fight in a nightclub. So it's not that private, is it?
Oh, what is going on with Danny Drinkwater? It's such a talented
Danny
player.
Danny drink more than water by the sounds of it.
Sounds of it.
No, you
right.
can't say that. He might have been sober.
He might have been.
Someone might have had a pop at him.
Well, juice is more than water. So Jim's actually within the realms of...
soft drinks.
Exactly.
The soft drink realm.
Could have had too much sugar.
He could well have done.
A pint of Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention in the James Maddison stat, did you see that picture of him and Jay-Z? Jay-Z,
no.
As we don't call him here.
Yeah.
It was absolutely brilliant. And the Leicester, because Jay-Z looked... He looks sort of quite bemused and almost sort of slightly, I don't know, sad maybe or something.
He had like a hat and glasses on.
Yeah, there were other photos which were a bit more jovial. But the Leicester, I think it was the official Leicester City Football Club account tweeted his James Maddison with a fan.
Love that.
Nice.
Love that. Behavior.
But yes, back to Burnley versus Norwich. Of course, Burnley snatched a late point at Brighton last weekend. Lovely Jeff Hendrick goal.
Mm. It was a beauty.
Oh, it was. What a pity. I know you enjoyed that one.
I said it on the podcast, didn't I?
Yes.
It was one of my faves.
Yes, exactly. It was an important point for Burnley, I would say, as they'd lost two on the bounce.
I remember that came through, because they played at 3 o'clock last weekend, Burnley. I think they might have done. Anyway, I was listening, I had the radio on when I was pottering around, and the commentator, whoever it was on that game, went mad about the goal, because it was a beauty, but he kept saying it was Jay Rodriguez. And the climb down he had to make a couple of minutes later, when they went back to him, and he went, oh, that goal, it wasn't Jerry Rodriguez, it was actually Jeff Hendrick.
It was on the break though, wasn't it?
I was thinking, poor old Jeff Hendrick, he doesn't get that many, does he?
He came in from
he gets
deep.
A few.
Not as many that'd be happy to give those kind of ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not as good as that, though.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, Burnley haven't won since the opening day of the season. They obviously lost at Arsenal, were unlucky not to win at Wolves, lost to Liverpool, and drew with Brighton. So
they benefited from the fact that
They've not been in the Europa League.
Wolves appear to be the new Burnley.
Yeah.
And people have forgotten about the old Burnley, who are actually quite bad as well.
Well, I fancied a decent season for Burnley this year. Did I say top 10 finish or something like that?
Well, they're only 2 points off that, mate, at this early stage.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
So you're not out of the woods yet.
I think I maybe said 10th finish or something. But I was thinking that Burnley could click again after last season's... Because, you know, you think about... I know we've talked about him a bit, but Ashley Barnes is adding a few goals in there. Goalkeeper situation is probably better because Pope's back.
Yes.
They kept hold of Tarkowski in defence. So I think that, you know, got Danny Drinkwater to come back.
I read earlier that Norwich have sold out their allocation as well for this game. What a win against Man City will do for you.
Well,
they're all going up there. It's going to be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, that you should
They've
say.
Stayed up there. general area.
Yeah. Well, this will be a very different match, of course.
The game was at Carrow Road, though, Jim, of course.
Yeah, I definitely knew that.
On attendances, though, I think I said in the WhatsApp group, I think Newcastle's sold tickets for the Brighton match is so low that the match they organised a boycott for, Arsenal at home, might be the highest selling game of the season, which is very Newcastle, very enjoyable.
Oh dear.
Well, this match will be very different, as I say, from the Man City game. Two contrasting styles, Burnley and Norwich. Two contrasting voices on the touchline. Jim, this is your wish. You mentioned this. I don't know whether you would mention it because you knew this fixture was coming.
No, this is just a happy coincidence.
Okay. All right. Would you like to say a bit more?
Well, it's the man that gargles sand against the man who's trying not to wake a sleeping giant that only he can see.
But which one's which?
But if he did wake that giant, I think that Daesh and Fark could take him down.
Yeah, I reckon maybe this is the time that we are going to hear Daniel Fark's real voice.
Do you ever when Phil Neville first started doing co-coms and someone pointed out that he sounded like he was doing it from a cupboard and he didn't want to wake up in the bedroom, they're going to wake someone up? He was like whispering, they need to get forward more. Whereas Daniel Farker's doing that, he's got a whispery element to it, hasn't
it? Yeah, very much so. But
They're two of the hardest managers in the league.
You would think, it's an old trope we haven't explored in a while, but they'd certainly be in there, you would think, in the conversation.
I think I'd rather have a dust-up with Daesh than Farker.
Farker seems like an unknown quantity, doesn't he?
Although Farker's much more, lends his name much more to me getting him angry by using his name as an insult.
True enough.
I don't know if he'd rise to it, though.
What about on the pitch, though, gentlemen? What do we think?
I mean, Norwich... either of them will start.
Okay.
I think, as you accurately pointed out, Marcus, I think the pertinent thing you've said there is it's a completely different challenge. And there could be, we've seen it 100 times before, I said that they've sold their allocation, Norwich fans, and good on them, but there could be a huge element of, after the Lord Mayor's show about this, and what Farker's got to do is repurpose his team and make sure they're motivated, because beating Man City at home in... I mean, Jack Dean, who does a show... on Stakhanov, he was at Norwich for the first ever time for the Man City game, and he said to me, "It's the best atmosphere he's ever seen at a game. They were pumping; they couldn't believe their luck." Now you go
he
away
does to West Ham at the Olympics.
Exactly, that's what I was trying to do with it. But to go away to Burnley is a far different proposition in all different ways. So how they manage that situation will be key. But it's there for the taking. If Norwich play their game and they go at teams and they try and score. I think Burnley aren't a team that score a huge amount of goals, so they could have a bit of joy there.
Have you seen that Eric Peters is best friends with Tim Krull?
Oh, that's nice.
And so they've got like this personal, interpersonal kind of battle going on, and one of them will get the bragging rights, unless it's a draw, and then everything's friends again.
It's the Peters Krull derby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It's funny, if you look at the games Burnley have played and the points they've got from them, I mean, it's not impossible to see Norwich getting something from this.
Well, no, of course not. But I think Daesh, it's funny, it almost sort of helps Burnley the way Norwich come off the back of that Man City game. Because he'll obviously have looked at the way they play, whereas Man City would probably turn up to somewhere like Norwich and not really worry too much about the opposition because they're so good. And especially as they were down a number of players who were injured. Whereas I think Daesh will look at this and go, right, let's spoil their momentum. And his Burnley side are very good at that. So I think it's a tough one to call, actually. I think the previous result Norwich had against Manchester City, that doesn't make me think that they will win this game. I think a stodgy draw, actually.
I know what you mean with that. I mean, Betway have got Norwich down as 11-4 to win, which I think is actually quite a decent price. Burnley are big favourites. it'd be one of those games where after the first couple of minutes, you'll kind of get a much better idea of what's going to happen. If Norwich go for it and say, do you know what, we're confident, we know for a fact we can beat anyone on our day, let's just go for it and have a great time doing it. You wonder if Burnley will have an answer to that. Well, but then Burnley are quite well organised, aren't they?
Could so give them the Jeff Hendrick experience.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Are you experienced?
We shall find out.
Let's look at Betway 4 to Score then, guys. Each week we're participating in that. It's a chance to win a huge prize for charity. 4 to Score entry is free over at betway.com/4to-score. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches each round. If you're correct, you can win up to £75,000 this week. It's rolled over again for this weekend. It's betway.com/4to-score. That's /4 and then to score. Of course, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Jim, you've got Newcastle v Brighton this week, and after your Anthony Martial debacle last week, you've gone for a different flavour.
Yeah, well, I looked at the possible lineups and I realised that Martial was very unlikely to start.
Again, yeah.
But both very low-scoring teams. So I've actually gone for no goal scorer.
So that is an option available to you. You think it's going to be 0-0, you can select no goal scorer. Jim has done that
Jimmy
for
Campbell.
Newcastle v Brighton, Saturday at 5:30.
Yeah.
Will Jamal Lascelles give away a penalty? You just don't know.
Well, who knows? I actually thought about maybe going for Miguel Almiron because it's surely a matter of time before he opens his account.
You have not been watching much Miguel Almiron.
That way lies failure, Jim.
Yeah, well, indeed. So I've gone for the more likely option of nothing.
No, yeah.
An absence.
Yeah.
I've gone for, in the West Ham Man United match, I've gone for Marcus Rashford. Could have gone for Martial because I think he's back for this match, but I'm going to go for old penalty taker extraordinaire,
little
Rashford.
Sensible. I've got Aston Villa against Arsenal at the Emirates at 4:30 on Sunday, and I've gone for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yeah, well, I got the phone, Robin. Chelsea at home to Liverpool, of course. I can't see Liverpool losing this game. I've gone for Sadio Mane. And of course, if they did lose this game, it would upset Jurgen Klopp, because I forgot to say earlier that he said something wonderful after they lost to Napoli when he was moaning about the VAR decision. He said, I could say a lot of things about it, but I'm not a bad loser. I'm not the best loser, but I'm not bad.
Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. Very self-aware of him now.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so in summary, Newcastle v Brighton, we've gone for no goal scorer. West Ham v Man United, Marcus Rashford. Arsenal v Aston Villa, we've gone for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And Chelsea v Liverpool, we've gone for Sadio Mane. Betway.com/4to-score to play along. Current prize is $75,000. It's completely free to play. So if you go up there, just log in, select your the players you want. And if all of them score first, you win the prize. Simple as that. Bet the responsible way. Go to BeGamblerAware.org for more information.
Lovely. And now it's time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for Going for Gold.
It's time for Going for Gold. Thank you very much to... My laptop's a bit slow. Alan... No. Not that. Yeah, not that.
Alan?
I haven't got a name. Never mind.
Alan Valderrama.
That was an email. First clue, I will get back to you on that one. I was born on the 15th of December, 1952.
Who
won last week? You, Jim?
Probably. Yes. Stop. Stan Bowles.
No.
Like that, Jim.
But I don't think he's ever been mentioned on Going for Gold, and it's been running for a while.
1952. Interesting.
My career lasted from 1971 to 1989.
Blimey
O'Reilly. Stop. To Trevor Brooking.
Incorrect.
Stop. Alan Hansen.
Incorrect.
Stop. Graham Souness.
Incorrect. I am the only player in football history to have scored in the final of all three major European club competitions.
Well, that would be Cup Winners' Cup, wouldn't it?
Cup Winners' Cup, UEFA Cup, and obviously the European Cup.
Might have even been the Fairs Cup at the time.
It would have been European Cup. Sorry, UEFA Cup.
Right.
I think.
We're going deep.
It's got to really do with our nationality here.
Stop. Ian Rush, he's not 67, is he?
It's no Ian Rush, no.
No.
This is tough.
From
Camembert.
From 1975 to 1978, I won the Bundesliga 3 times in a row with Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Stop.
Go on, have a little spin.
Oh, God. Forgotten his bloody name.
Have a little spin, Jim.
Yeah, that is annoying.
It's your only chance on this clue, mate.
It is, isn't it? Oh. Bloody hell.
Bloody hell.
Stop.
Gerd Müller.
No.
Is it Paul Breitner?
No.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. All right. I thought you had that.
Then. As well as the UEFA Cup title in 1975 and 1979.
Stop. Bertie Vokes.
No.
Oh, is that a new clue?
No, it was all one clue, but I got stopped.
I think I know it.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
No.
I think we're all out of goes.
Yeah, so
now.
Go to the next clue.
Yeah. Oh, I think Luke had... Oh, did he? Okay.
Luke stopped in the middle.
Sol's.
Stop! Felix Magath.
No, it's not.
That'd have been nice.
Imagine.
Oh, that was for Hamburg anyway. That was for Hamburg.
In 1977, I entered the UEFA Cup final with Gladbach again, but ended up losing to the losing the final to Kevin King's Liverpool FC.
Yeah.
Later that same year, however, I won the Ballon d'Or with Keegan coming second.
Oh.
Retribution, kind of.
About. Who would that be?
Why is it so hard?
I love it.
Is he German?
It's quite old school, isn't it?
He won the Ballon d'Or.
A bit older.
Is he? He's got to be German, isn't he? Unless it could be an old curvy bally.
We'll find out.
An old curvy bally.
What
does that mean?
A curveball.
Oh,
banana shot.
Yeah.
I signed for FC Barcelona in 1979 and played for them until 1982, scoring 55 goals and winning the Copa del Rey as well as the European Cup Winners' Cup.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. Gordon Ruddy.
It's really annoying when this happens.
We've got so many clues. So I'm going to rattle through.
Oh. Stop Hans Krankl.
Incorrect.
Maybe
lovely old job. After Barca bought a guy called Diego Armando Maradona, I made the spectacular move to Charlton Athletic in the English second tier.
Oh my god,
that doesn't help me.
That's
at all.
A move, innit?
This is all before we were born, to be fair.
Stop Gerhard Fussball.
Stop Phil Adelphia.
Now, after a brief spell at Charlton, I returned to my Danish home club.
Stop. Michael Laudrup.
You idiot.
Incorrect.
Ugh, 1971. Michael Laudrup was 67 years old.
In 1983 and won one national championship with them. Despite playing all of 1983 in the Danish top league, I was still voted third in that year's Ballon d'Or competition.
Stop. Frank Arnesen.
Incorrect.
Oh. He's Dutch anyway.
Was he? Mm.
Yeah.
I'd nothing.
I am known for suffering a horrible leg break during the opening game of the 1984 European Championships between Denmark and France.
Oh man, this is ridiculous. Terrible. This is absolutely ridiculous.
So I feel like we've profiled this guy.
Is that the last clue?
No, we've got one bonus fact.
The most famous Danish player ever by the sounds of it.
Frank Arnesen, not Danish.
I thought he was Dutch. I'll check.
Well, I mean, it's not the answer anyway. So.
The final clue.
Mm-hmm.
I am also known for one...
Oh, he is Danish. Sorry, yeah, apologies. He is Danish.
You shouldn't be Googling.
Pete, is that the answer?
I am also known... No. I am also known for once breaking the arm of my teammate, Prebom Elkia, I think, by hitting him with a shot on goal during match.
Blimey.
He's got a shot on him. He breaks arms with his goals.
Hang on.
Stop. In Jan Molby.
Yeah, that was the only one I had.
You heard me say that the emailer's name was Alan. That was me reading the name of the actual player it was. It was Alan Simonson!
Oh, Alan.
One of the most underrated players in European football history. So, to the point where I completely forgot about his existence.
He'll break your arm. Well, you would have played a game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for going.
Lord.
Yes.
So you gave us half of the guy's name and we still couldn't get it.
Yeah,
I didn't realise he gave us half.
Yeah, still. We had a clue.
At the
it's
time.
Probably the worst we've ever done.
The only Ballon d'Or winner to go on to manage Faroe Islands and Luxembourg, I'd say. Very strange career.
Yeah.
No one's really ever talked about him.
We were beaten.
We
were beaten for the first time this season, so well done. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily. Tomorrow, I am back with Jonathan Wilson for another Greatest Games podcast. Don't miss out on that. You'd be an absolute mug if you did.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, guys.
Say goodbye, Petey D.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Kimball.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Come down to the Peaky Blinders.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.